How's it going, everybody, and welcome to another Sunday edition of the 30 Minute Misconduct Podcast, a post-Turkey Day edition this Sunday. Hopefully everybody had a good holiday. The Stars, they had it sounds like a mixed holiday week when you look back at some of the games this week and the ups and downs, but at the end of the day, you know, the old adage of the NHL is, you know, it's where you're at Thanksgiving is where you're probably going to end up as far as being in a playoff spot or not. The Stars were indeed in a playoff spot on American Thanksgiving, and have, like I said, some roller coaster results on the other side of the holiday, maybe tryptophan induced, maybe not. But Billy, why don't we just spend a little time on this Sunday edition, just kind of talking about where the Stars are at, basically the quarter pole. That's kind of, you know, the quarter pole of the season, the Thanksgiving holiday, really start to evaluate where teams are at. You know, they were, like I mentioned, in a playoff position on Thanksgiving, but also still in a playoff position. You look at the Western Conference, the Stars are still locked in that second wild card berth right now. They are a point up on Las Vegas, 2 points up, I believe, on Vancouver, and 3 points up on Chicago, something like that. And they've played at least as many games, if not fewer, than all three of those teams. So still looking pretty good for now, I guess. It's still extremely early, but I guess the first question for me to you is do you buy into the whole Thanksgiving thing?
I definitely do. There's enough research out there to indicate that the standings on Thanksgiving do have an impact on this final standings that we see in April. I think the number last year was that 11 out of the 16 teams in a playoff spot on Thanksgiving made the playoffs last season. Those are pretty good odds.
Yeah.
How was your Thanksgiving, Taylor?
My Thanksgiving was good, man. It was good. We went out to my parents' house. They live out a little bit on some acreage, some 9 acres of peace and quiet out there. So we had a nice little meal, hung out, had some family come in, all that good stuff. Typical Thanksgiving. Typical Thanksgiving, I'd say. What about you?
Are you a fried turkey guy or an oven-baked turkey guy?
Oven-baked all the way, man. I don't think we've ever fried a turkey. One. I'm afraid of, like, blowing up the neighborhood. It seems like there's been some disastrous results for people every single year trying to fry some turkeys. Not that I don't think I could get it done if I had to, or my family, but no, we've always been baked turkey people. And we enjoy leftovers to the point, we make this thing called turkey and toast, and I don't fully enjoy it because I don't usually eat the gravy. I eat a lot of stuff at Thanksgiving, but for whatever reason, like the turkey gravy made from the, you know, the insides and all that kind of stuff, I don't usually eat. But anyway, the Raglan tradition, especially for those that partake in the gravy, is literally just kind of like an open-faced turkey sandwich covered in gravy, like on toast. So we love our leftovers so much that we bake two turkeys every Thanksgiving, like regardless of how much we're going to eat on the day, just to have like more leftover. So the one thing I've never understood about Thanksgiving, like, I love turkey. You can get a turkey at any time. I know it's tradition, but like, I ask this, I feel like, every year. Why don't we ever just, like, make turkey? Turkey's great.
I like turkey. You know me, I'm a plain food eater. I love a good old turkey sandwich. But I feel like once you become a fried turkey Thanksgiving person, you never go back. And that's something that my family discovered probably, like, 10 years ago. Fried turkeys are amazing. Because the turkey by itself, I'm not that big of a fan. I don't mind it on a sandwich, but just to have a piece of turkey on your fork is pretty boring. But when you have fried turkey with Creole butter, Cajun butter injection like we do, I mean, you're never going back to an oven-baked turkey after that.
I mean, it sounds good. I'm not opposed to anything fried, pretty much. So, I mean, you grow up in Texas and you go to the Texas State Fair, and I guess you just exist in the state and you're used to things being fried. So, I mean, I'm not opposed. I would try it. Maybe if you save me a piece one of these years, then I could try it.
Well, and nobody in my family has blown up yet, so that's a good sign. But you know what did blow up over this Thanksgiving holiday was the Stars offense on Victory Green Friday. 6-goal outburst.
You were in the building, right?
I was in the building. I was 6 rows behind the shoot once net. I got to see all kinds of action there right in front of me. 6 goals against the Ottawa Senators, which is pretty good considering the 2 games before that were 1-goal outings for the Stars. And after those two poor efforts that only resulted in 1 goal in New York and Pittsburgh, it was pretty exciting to watch that game on Friday and enjoy Victory Green Friday, one of my favorite holidays and one of my favorite Stars games of the year. I call Black Friday Victory Green Friday. It's one of my favorite traditions. And
that was mine's probably, I've been to the day after Thanksgiving game. You know, opening night is always really fun, but I'm a big fan of the New Year's game. I think for me as someone that enjoys a beer or two and enjoys a lively atmosphere and people celebrating and having some fun and you know, being joyful, I guess, on New Year's Eve. That's always a fun one too. And the Stars typically, you know, they play well the day after Thanksgiving usually, and they usually play well on New Year's too. So, for both of our favorite dates, they're usually up to the task. But as you mentioned, definitely not against New York, not against Pittsburgh, and then the day after, we cannot win in Colorado, man. It seems like every time there's a road game in Colorado, I just chalk it up as an L and hope for the best.
Except for when I got a road win in Colorado a few years ago, 4-3 overtime win. But I think there are four games each season that are must wins because the building is full. Lots of casual fans are in the arena. You've got opening night. You got to win on opening night. And then I call it Victory Green Friday. That's my second game. New Year's Eve, like you mentioned, that's got a lot of passionate fans there, especially when Big D NYE was out in the plaza and you had all that kind of chaos happening outside. It was just the full New Year's Eve experience. And then Fan Appreciation Night. You can never lose on Fan Appreciation Night. So it was good to get that win on Friday.
Yeah, regardless.
And then, yeah, last night, unfortunately, it turned out to be close to a good effort. They had the game in the bag, but then they blew it. Typical Stars fashion, they collapsed.
They pissed it away, as Captain JB Benn said.
They certainly pissed it away for sure. And it was one of those typical Stars losses that you think to yourself, well, we're going to be thinking about that one in April. They mentioned during the broadcast that the Stars finished 3 points behind Colorado last season, and Colorado made it to the playoffs. So you're looking at, there's a 4-point swing that just happened in those last few minutes last night. So very frustrating, to say the least.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, it's been a really weird month in Dallas Stars land. Just looking at the schedule overall, that was our second game in our division this month, and I think the last game that we'll play in the division this month. And just overall, throughout the start of the season, that was our first game on the road within the division. It's been really strange. We've played a lot of the Eastern Conference. I saw that note on the broadcast yesterday. We spent a lot of time out east and having Eastern teams in the AAC. And then I mentioned the thing that I'm looking forward to, or I guess, you know, maybe looking forward to is the wrong word, but the thing that I want to see is how the Stars respond to this loss. Because if you look at this last stretch, starting with the win over Boston at home, there were 8 games, or this is a stretch that will be 8 games in 13 days with 3 back-to-backs in it. And heading into the last 2 games, which is a back-to-back on Tuesday and Wednesday at Edmonton and Calgary, they're 3-3. So as ugly as, you know, the New York loss was and how boring that was, as horrendous as the Pittsburgh loss was, as gut-wrenching as it was to give up that one yesterday, you know, when you led with under 5 minutes left, I think 4:47 was the time to go when we were up 2-1. So as ugly as all of those were, you know, you beat Boston, you beat the Islanders, and you beat Ottawa. You're 3-3 with a chance to just win one of the next two and escape this stretch with, you know, the injuries that the Stars have had, the schedule that the Stars have had, you know, the amount of back-to-backs, everything going on, as dire as it seems. You can still escape this terrible stretch at 500 if you just win one of the next two, which is, I think, it's certainly doable. So, you know, the sky isn't falling. They're still in a playoff position. You mentioned how, you know, how important it is to be in a playoff position at Thanksgiving, even if it's just for the guys to kind of feel a little bit like this whole thing is working. And like I said, I mean, you go out and you beat Edmonton or Calgary, one or the other, you're 500 through this terrible stretch of 8 games in 13 days with 6 of them on the road. You're right there.
They're going to have to win tomorrow night against Edmonton, because they sure as heck aren't going to win a back-to-back game in Calgary on Wednesday. They're still really struggling with those second ends of back-to-backs. They got to get that figured out quickly. And then Saturday's game in Vancouver is an early start, and those always seem to be trap games for the Stars.
Yeah. You mentioned the back-to-back. I'm looking at the schedule here. It's definitely been a rough month for the second night of a back-to-back for the Stars. You know, on the 5th, they beat Boston. On the 6th, they lose to Columbus. On the 18th, they beat the Islanders. On the 19th, they lose to the Rangers. And then obviously, you know, we just talked about you beat Ottawa on Victory Green Friday, as you so lovingly refer to it as, and then go out and lay an egg in Colorado and give up. I was out last night with some friends that were in town for the holiday before they headed back to Houston. And I was watching it on my phone, like propped up on the table at the restaurant we were at. And I probably got some looks when the Avs, not only when they scored to tie it from 2-1 to make it 2-2, because even then I'm thinking like, you know, surely you're up a goal with 4:47 to play. Surely they will find a way to stumble into overtime, right? And then that third goal, just, oh my God, I was unhappy, to say the least. I was unhappy.
Were you at a Friendsgiving?
No, it was just we were just out to eat. It was just, it was my college roommate. He lives in Houston. You know, my best friend really. And he was just in town. His family all lives up here now. He has two sisters up here, with little kids and all that good stuff running around. So they usually do, him and his parents usually come in from Houston to do Thanksgiving up here. But you know, they're heading back out. So we went out and met him and his girlfriend for dinner. And I tried to get can we talk about one of my biggest pet peeves? We're trying to put the Stars game on at restaurants. Nobody understands Fox Sports Southwest Plus. Nobody understands it. Like, nobody gets, because last night I asked the manager, can I get the Stars game on this TV? They said, you know, it's company policy. They want us to have football on, you know, on Saturdays. They want us to have college football, yada, 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 whatever. But I'll ask. I was like, okay, great. So then they come back and they've put the Mavs game on Fox Sports Southwest. And they're like, we put this on for you. That's the best we could do. We're sorry. It's just, we don't have that channel. And my girlfriend got mad at me because I always try to push back a little because I'm like, what? I always ask, like, what cable do you have? What service do you have? Because I can tell you the channel that this Stars game is on, or you can search it. This thing exists. Like, I know you have Fox Sports Southwest Plus. We just have to look it up. But it was to no avail. I had to watch it on my phone, but. Yeah, it was brutal. Brutal all the way around, man. Brutal all the way around.
You should have made a big deal out of that. It is strange, though, because like on my TV, I have AT&T Spectrum. And when it's on the alternate, it doesn't go on to my Fox Sports Southwest alternate. It goes on to the Fox Sports Houston channel. And I have no idea why that happens. But I figured it out. And that sucks for you. Pretty poor service to say, oh, well, can't get the Stars game on, but here you go. Here's some Dallas Mavericks basketball.
No.
You would have thought they would at least just put football back
close,
on.
It's close, but nah.
Yeah, I mean, it's close enough. Dallas Mavericks, I mean, they play in the same arena, so I guess that's what they were thinking.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is with this whole Friendsgiving thing, this whole trend of Friendsgiving where people have three different Friendsgivings and then they have their main Thanksgiving. Must be some millennial thing people are doing nowadays.
Is it because you don't have friends? Are you disappointed? Are you upset because you don't have friends?
Oh, that could be part of it. I guess I'm a little bit jealous. Maybe it's a jealousy factor.
Well, let's get back into this horrible month of November is almost over here. And then the schedule kind of calms down a bit. You mentioned the game, the early start Saturday at Vancouver to round out the road trip. And then they come back. They have a Monday game versus Edmonton versus Hitch again. He'll be in the building. And then 3 days off and a Friday game at San Jose. And then they go on the road again for four, back home for two, on the road for one, back home. It's a little bit more of a normal a more normal schedule, I guess, than November was. It was just so crazy. And they're still in the midst of it, like we said, with all the back-to-backs and everything. But some important games coming up in December, too. Some games against they have Vegas on the road, Anaheim, San Jose, a California road trip, a brief one, at Colorado again, Chicago at home, at Minnesota, at Nashville. So a lot more, you know, it's picking up a little in the Central. Some real big tilts at home and on the road again, a chance to go back to Colorado and figure that out who knows, figure out the Mile High Air that they always talk about on the broadcast. But it's, like I said, it's kind of, for me, you can't really underestimate how important this stretch is going to be. And especially this next back-to-back, because regardless of whether they win or lose, I need to see them come out and be as pissed off as they were after the loss last night. Because this is one of those games that could really galvanize a team and really make them kind of wake up and say, I can't believe we gave that one away. That was awful. That was crap. I can't believe we did that. We're never going to do that again. If we're leading under 5 minutes, there's absolutely no excuses. We got to win the hockey game or get to overtime or whatever. We got to get a point out of it. Or, you know, it could be a game where they kind of fold up. You know, everybody's hurt. Bishop's been out. Our entire blue line has just been decimated. We can't score except for like every third game. So they could just roll over, you know, and I don't believe that this is a group that will do that. I don't think that this group is one that's just gonna lie down and kind of have a little slump here after a loss like that. I really don't. But at the same time, I kind of need them to come out and prove it. You know what I mean? Because I feel like they did after that. You know, they had the 5-1 loss to Pittsburgh that was just horrific. And I think something that we kind of expected, they got Crosby back. You know, it just kind of felt like one of those games where, you know, they were due for a breakout game as far as the Penguins are concerned. But, you know, they come back and get that 6-4 win over Ottawa, and now they're going to need to do it again. So regardless of the consistency, regardless of what happens, I really want to see how they come out, especially Tuesday, and, you know, try to right this ship a little bit, because that's been kind of the story of the year so far, is trying to figure out, you know, how they bounce back from some tough losses and some adversity.
It's not even just the back-to-back curse. It's the first couple games after scoring a lot of goals curse. Yeah, the 6-2 effort in Brooklyn, and then they went out and scored one against the Rangers and one against Pittsburgh. And now on Friday you had a 6-goal effort, and last night was just 2 goals, and then whatever they're going to score tomorrow night in Edmonton. They need to start – I don't know if it's like a – because they pour out all their effort in those 6-goal efforts that they're then tired for the next couple of games, but they just need to figure out this scoring stretch that doesn't make any sense. Like, you've got depth players scoring, like there's been some nights where like the depth guys have been scoring like almost all of our goals, and then you never hear from them again for like three games. And then the top line, you had Tyler Seguin go basically a month without scoring. And then Jamie Benn just got back from, I think it was 7 games where he hadn't scored. They've got to get some consistency going. My God. And that, it brings back to the point of the Thanksgiving standings, because people always say, oh, well, you know, give this team time to get their lines together and figure out their chemistry. But the Thanksgiving standings, I don't know what the word is, but the importance of the Thanksgiving standings goes to show just how quickly you need to get your consistency going. You can't wait until game 30 or game 40. You've got to have it figured out by like game 20, because at that point you're going to be too far behind. And they also have to figure out the Central Division curse, because I think going into last night's game, they were 1-1-1 against the Central Division. The Stars were one of the only teams that like has only had a handful of games against the Central. Some of the other teams on that list had a bunch of games, but now they're 1-2-1, and that's not going to cut it. This is a tough division, and teams like Winnipeg, Nashville, Minnesota, everybody else always seems to figure it out, and the Stars are left saying, well, the Central Division is so tough. You can't use that excuse anymore. You've got to start winning these Central Division games and get up there with Nashville.
Yeah, and to your point about, you know, some of the inconsistencies, you're right about not being able to kind of put together two offensive nights back-to-back. The last time they really did was earlier this month on the 8th. They played San Jose, 4-3. And then on the 10th, they lost it to Nashville in overtime, but it was 5-4. So 2 4-goal performances. But then to your point, they've scored 1-1-6, 1-1-6-2. So it's really spotty. And another kind of microcosm of the inconsistency, and I think maybe the best example, maybe anywhere in the league right now, of two guys going separate directions, is Heiskanen and what he continues to do, and Honka and what he continues to not do. Because we've really started to reach the point where, Like, it makes me wonder if Honka's ever going to become anything here, because we've mentioned before, this is his third coach, you know, his third administration behind the bench, I guess, if you will, you know, not his third general manager or anything like that. But at the same time, he continues to be a healthy scratch all the time. The guys that have come up from Texas are playing over him and I think playing better. I've thought Bayreuther has been really, really great, like really great. Fadoon had the goal, you know, the other night that was really pretty. You know, and Shore, just to kind of get off on a tangent, Devin Shore has been one of our best forwards by far lately, pretty much all month when he's been in. I know he was hurt for a little bit, but he's fantastic. That play to set up the Fadoon goal was unbelievable. But anyway, I digress. It's frustrating with Honka, man. It's really frustrating because I was a part of the crowd that wanted to see him kind of break out and become what some semblance of what Klingberg has done here. Especially offensively, what Haskinen is already doing here, almost had a hat trick, missed by a couple inches the other night at the empty net. And it's just, man, I'm really coming around on, it's time to figure out something to do with Julius Honka that may not be play for the Dallas Stars.
I agree. Honka needs to go. I mean, I don't want him to go, but at this point they could get something in return for him that might be more beneficial to the team than what he's been providing. I also think that you've got to look at Nichushkin, his trial period is getting pretty close to its end. He's produced nothing this season. And I've mentioned over the last couple of weeks that he's getting more and more chances. But at some point, it's like, I mean, what are we at? Like 25 games in? How many games has it been? It's been like 24 games. Something like that, 24, yeah, 25 games. And he still hasn't scored a goal. And when he was here, before he went off to Russia, he was producing. He had a considerable number of goals, considering the ice time that he wasn't getting. And then the other guy that people keep bringing up is Brett Ritchie. I know you've been a big proponent of he needs to figure out how to contribute to this team, and we're really not seeing it anymore. So I look at those three guys as potential options for the Stars to hopefully bring in somebody new and spark this offense and get it going consistently.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is you don't know what you can get for them when they're, you know, you it's like, you know, you buy low and sell high, but that's not exactly easy to do when, you know, all three of their stocks are so low. But touching on, you know, both Richie and Val, Richie is, man, it's difficult to put my finger on what needs to happen with him, because I do think that they've probably had conversations with him about, listen, if you're not going to contribute on the sheet, then you need to take some sort of a different role here. You need to be physical. You need to, you know, take the body and kind of play that style of game, play heavy on the puck. And I think that makes him better on the score sheet. I've always said that about him. I think when he's going well, he's playing with controlled aggression, playing really heavy, you know, throwing his body around and then also chipping in. But he's not doing any of that right now. He's throwing his body around and getting boarding calls. And he's taking penalty after penalty and not contributing in any way outside of that. And it's the same thing with Val, and that one hurts me even worse, because every time I watch Val, I see something that convinces me that it's still in there somewhere. You know what I mean? Like his ability to score, it's still in there somewhere. But at a certain point, you know, you're right. You have to produce. Like I can't, if I'm Jim Nill and Jim Montgomery, I can't sit around for 42 games for half the season, or, you know, more than half the season, and wait on him to figure something out. I mean, what do you do? I mean, maybe you can't move him and you just have to kind of eat that for this year. But at the same time, like, it's just not, it's something that you have to prove. And I think he proves that he still has the potential, and I see the flashes of it. And when he's going well and confident, and he can still take the puck to the net and be kind of a power forward and use that body and leverage his physicality, I think it's still there. But I mean, like you said, it doesn't matter if you can't put the puck in the net, just like with Richie. I mean, even if he becomes the best, you know, quote unquote enforcer, that doesn't even really exist in today's NHL. Even if he becomes the best, you know, one of those that we could have, at a certain point, like, you still have to do something and you still have to contribute in a meaningful way. Are guys like, you know, Hintz and Dickinson and you know, the guys that have proven that they're here to contribute and here to, you know, make this team better, are going to continue to see more playing time. And I think rightly so. So it's an interesting scenario. And speaking of, before we run out of time, before we get to our awards for the week, speaking of interesting scenarios, did you see Roussel bite that guy? Did you see Roussel bite?
I did see that. It's a little strange.
Yeah. It was it Vlasic? Is that who it was?
I don't know. I know it was against San Jose, but
I think it was because people were making pickle jokes. So I think it was him.
Roussel's always been one case, of those guys that lets the emotions get the best of him. But I don't know if I think that's even weirder than the Brad Marchand lick. I mean, he bit yeah. another man. That's just strange.
Well, see, biting is almost, I think I'll have to disagree with you. If we're going to power rank weirdness, I think licking definitely falls above biting, because biting is like a primal dirty fighting tactic. Licking is like, that's a different level of weird, I think. And I don't want to sound like a Roussel homer here. I mean, I did name my cat after him, but I don't want to sound like too much of a Roussel homer, because you should never bite a guy. I mean, there's no defending biting a guy, and he paid the fine for it. Literally, he paid for it. He got the maximum allowable fine, which is another interesting topic. How do you come up with the maximum allowable fine for biting somebody? It's $5,000. I don't know, but that's what he had to pay. But I do kind of understand, like, when you're being restrained by the referees and being targeted for being Antoine Roussel, which he deserves his reputation. He's created his own issues there. But when you're being restrained and you literally have no way to get back at the guy that's messing with you, and they're just constantly like putting their bare hand in your face and slapping you around and digging at your ear. And I don't know. I mean, a guy like him, he snapped and bit somebody. It happens, I guess. It happens.
It's weird. But like you said, I think the licking is something that you do to try to annoy somebody. And then the biting is kind of like when you're being attacked by a shark. That's a good comparison because they're playing the sharks. But when you're being attacked by a shark and you're supposed to poke its eyeballs with your fingers just to survive. And Roussel was trying to do the same thing. He had a glove in his face, probably couldn't breathe. He was just trying to survive. But unfortunately, he's going to face some financial punishment for that.
Well, with that, I guess we're getting close to time here. So as we do every Sunday episode, why don't we do a little awards? I mean, I think the obvious one we can hand out from both of us is just some sort of MVP award for Thanksgiving, for turkey, for family. It's a great holiday. Stars are in a playoff spot, so everybody's feeling good. Maybe it's just the good vibes award for the Stars being in a postseason spot and having a good little holiday stretch and the good vibes and good feels on Victory Green Friday, as you put it. So maybe we can default to that. But you know, for your other weekly award, which way are you leaning, Billy? Who's in your sights this week?
I'm gonna give out the Heart and Hustle Award, the debut of my Heart and Hustle Award. It's for a player or two that exhibits passion on the ice, because I'm all about passion. I want to see these guys. I want to see that they care. And the two guys that did that for me this week, the first one would be Alexander Radulov, of course, the heroic goal in Brooklyn to seal my 6-2 road win on Sunday, where he had the breakaway goal, nice backhand, and then his crazy celebration where it almost ended up with him falling down on the ice. He's going to get the first Heart and Hustle Award of the week. But the other side of his award that I'm trying to reward him for is his effort when the net is pulled to block shots. Unlike any other player on this team, he puts his body on the line when the net is empty, and he has stopped now at least two what should have been goals, two empty net goals. He put his body in front of it, whether it be getting down on one knee or just completely giving up his whole body to save the goal. He's done that for this team, and I really respect that. And so he's getting the first Heart and Hustle Award. And then the second award is going to go to Devin Shore, as you alluded to, that effort he had in the second period to create a play out of nothing. That play was over. If he could have, I mean, that puck was just going to roll into the corner. They were battling with each other, but he somehow put in enough effort to get that puck over to, how are we saying his name? Fadun? Is that it? Fadun?
I think it's Fadun, yeah.
Fadun. Fedora, Fadun, Fadun, Fadun.
Fadoing it, man.
Shore.
He's Fadoing it.
Shore put that extra effort in, that little bit of extra effort to create a play out of nothing, and Fadun got the goal. And so I'm going to give my second Heart and Hustle Award to Devin Shore for his effort on that play. And that's all I've got for this week.
I'm going to go a little different direction. Mine's not an MVP award or anything. I'm going to give the Dumb and Dumber Award. And let me explain why it's called that. And it may be something I continue, because I think it happens more often than we really realize if we sit and think about it. But you've seen Dumb and Dumber, correct? I'm correct in assuming this?
You are incorrect.
You've never seen Dumb and Dumber?
I'm not a movie guy.
Oh my God, this is a problem.
I'm sorry.
Our listeners, they're gonna turn the podcast off right now.
I don't like dogs.
Well, anyway,
I don't like animals.
There's a moment in Dumb and Dumber. So they're driving around in like a dog grooming van, and a lot of stuff happens and they lose it or whatever. So Jim Carrey's character comes riding up on a little tiny like Vespa looking thing, and that's like the replacement for their vehicle. So then the other guy is like, you know, just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this. And then the joke is, he says, and totally redeem yourself, because they're both stupid. But anyway, so that's the moment. Hopefully our listeners that have actually seen the movie know what I'm talking about. But my Dumb and Dumber Award, names such for a player's ability to totally redeem himself, goes to Gavin Bayreuther. Because do you remember the moment in the Ottawa game when he had that terrible turnover? It wasn't even really a turnover, but they were coming through neutral ice, and he kind of went down to one knee to try to block a cross ice pass, and it got through him and it set up a goal, and it kind of seemed like Ottawa was getting some momentum, and then Bayreuther came back and got his first NHL goal on the empty net and totally redeemed himself. So my Dumb and Dumber Totally Redeemed Yourself Award for the week is going to go to Gavin Bayreuther, who I think has been fantastic since joining the big club. I think he's had a really good couple of games. He does a lot of things offensively. He's pretty good on defense as well. And for a defensive core that has been decimated by injury, he's been a little bit of a breath of fresh air and a pretty good presence back there. So my Dumb and Dumber Award for the week goes to Gavin Bayreuther. What do you think of the award?
I like it. And I'm familiar with the movie clip that you referenced, because the Stars always use it in games.
Yeah. Well, I guess with our awards given out and the holiday wrapped up and me still recovering from the turkey coma that I entered into Thursday afternoon, and a little bit of Black Friday shopping, which we didn't even get into, but I did get some stuff at Columbia, like the basic guy that I am. I got a vest and a pullover at Columbia. So I did do some of that as well. But with all that wrapped up, with another weekend in the books, another weekend of Stars hockey, another roller coaster weekend of Stars hockey, no less, and with a back-to-back on the horizon, I guess we will go ahead and sign off for this Sunday edition of the 30-Minute Misconduct Podcast. We hope all of you guys out there also had a good holiday, a good restful, hopefully a couple days off work. We're back to the grind for the Stars on the back-to-back Tuesday and Wednesday. We'll have another episode for you guys coming out Wednesday. We may record it Tuesday, so I don't know if we'll be able to talk about the Wednesday game, but in any case, we'll talk about at least the Tuesday game, some more trends, some more things going on, some more happenings, and who knows what else on the 30-Minute Misconduct Podcast. But that's all for this Sunday episode. Thank you for joining me, Billy. Hope everybody had a great holiday week and is well rested to return to work and all that terrible stuff. Maybe you can listen to us on the commute and make it a little better. But we will talk to you guys again on Wednesday. Until then, you guys take care.